Well, we've had a wonderful journey together to learn about God's work among and through international students. And tonight, with the final session, although I've been encouraging you along the way to see your part in what God is doing, I want to really focus on that tonight. Let's put up the other PowerPoint there, the first one. In Acts chapter 8, there's a story of a man, an international, a man from Ethiopia who left his home to go to Jerusalem to seek for God. His heart was seeking. But we find him on his way back to Ethiopia, having not heard the gospel. Now, it's very likely that when he went to Jerusalem, he was not there for a day or two. He was there for a period of time. And we are told in Acts chapter 5 that Jerusalem was being filled with the apostles' teaching. How is it that this man could go to Jerusalem seeking God and not hear the gospel? Well, one of the reasons was probably that a lot of the sharing of the gospel was taking place in the temple courts. And this man was a eunuch, and eunuchs were not allowed into the temple area. So there was a barrier for him, a block for him to hear the gospel. But God saw him, saw his heart. And what did he do? He took Philip out of a very amazing, successful ministry in Samaria and told him to go out into the desert. Didn't tell him why, but Philip was obedient. And then on his way, he met this man from Ethiopia, and God told him to go to the chariot and stay near it. He heard the man reading from Isaiah the prophet. He asks him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" The man says no, and he invites him up into the chariot, and they have this sharing about the gospel, and the man becomes a Christian, and he goes to Ethiopia to begin the church in Africa, and Philip goes on with his ministry. But the key is that in many cases, internationals are in our cities, they're close to the message, but there's a barrier for them to hear the message. And they won't hear the message unless people personally get involved in their lives, get alongside of them, answer their questions, find out where they're at, and share the gospel. In the book of Acts, we see many internationals who are brought close to Christians, but God does not send the international to the Christians. He sent Philip to the Ethiopian eunuch. In Acts chapter 10, we have another man seeking God away from home named Cornelius, and God sends Peter to Cornelius. We have the story of the Apostle Paul, an international away from home, who comes to Christ, and God does not send Paul to Ananias, but sends Ananias to Paul. And he sends Paul to Lydia. And so in all these cases of internationals, God sends people away from home, close to where Christians are, but then he wants Christians to hear his voice directing them to go to the internationals. Now, brothers and sisters, we know that Jesus' prayer, when he saw the multitudes, and Jesus seen the multitude of over 1 million international students in the United States, you know what he turns to us and he says? Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send out workers into the harvest field. So that's my prayer, joining Jesus' prayer, to look for workers who will go into the harvest. And one of the things with IFI is we're committed to working in partnership with local churches to see the ministry done. It's not about just individuals, but together with churches. But we're looking to train people in international student ministry. Now, there's a website called everyinternational.org. There's a number of international student ministries the leaders have been praying together, and as we've been praying together, we sensed that God was calling us to work together in a cooperative way to see how more Christians could get involved in international student ministry. And so we developed this website with all these wonderful training videos on it, and that is a great resource for you. In fact, the reason this came about is because we were praying together every year and seeking the Lord together. And a business person saw our unity and saw our hearts, and he pledged $1 million to see international student ministry go forward. And that this is one of the initiatives on it. But I want to explain. I've been encouraging you with the possibility of becoming a friend to an international student And if you are in an area, I showed the map before here, this map where IFI is, and you say, okay, I'm in Colorado or I'm in South Carolina and it's not on the map. Well, one of the things we would like to do is to start new international student ministries. And toward that end, we developed what's called a startup kit. And the startup kit is a training thing for people who want to learn how to start an international student ministry in their city. And you can do that even while you're working full time. Oh, there it is. Good. Yeah, so we have this video resource that we coach and train people how to do it. So some of you, your entry level is going to be, okay, I want to be a friend. I have enough time to be a conversation partner. How can you connect me in my city? If you have an interest in being a friend of an international student, I will do everything possible to connect you in your city with an international student. I was so encouraged by the new people that I met that are here from Nebraska. They are such an encouragement to me because they say, we're in Nebraska, we're 6 hours from a university, but what could we do? And I said, I will try and send international students to Nebraska for you, okay? Who are interested in agriculture, right? We got some ag students at OSU. Maybe they want to go out to Nebraska and spend a week or 2 weeks out there. So whatever your situation is, don't let that be a limitation to think, oh, I can't do this ministry because I'm not where IFI is. We would like to help you get started either with a friendship or to begin a ministry. And toward that end, 2 years ago, I had the opportunity to be the mission speaker here at Gull Lake, and there was a couple sitting here who heard what you're hearing this week, and they thought, we could do that, and they did it. And not only did they do it, but they are now the leaders of the IFI ministry in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And so it's possible that you're here, you're thinking about going into retirement, and you say, what am I going to do in retirement? Well, maybe this is something you could do in your retirement. Maybe you're working full-time, like both Randy and Ellen are. They're both full-time, but they still are able to do a significant ministry to internationals. So I think that there is someone here probably who God is calling to move up to a level of commitment and involvement that would be very exciting because God is giving you some leadership gifts, and this is a way of advancing the Great Commission. So I'm praying that tonight, some of you are going to, you know, someone gave me the card tonight. If you still can give me the card, you can still sign up at the table to get involved. But I want you to hear what happened to Randy and Ellen after they heard a similar presentation 2 years ago at Gull Lake and what's happened in their lives in ministry since then. So, Randy, why don't you come?
Good evening. So, I've got the wrong... Oh, there we go.
There it is, yep.
Up there. Yeah, I'm not used to being up front. We're used to sitting out there. So let's see here. Yeah, Gull Lake Ministry. We've been coming to Gull Lake for 25 years as a family. Ellen's been coming a little longer, 40 plus years.
46 years.
So we, like Rich was saying, we sat here 2 years ago and we said, we can do this. What a blessing, and we stepped into it. And so we just want to talk a little bit. There's one thing, though, Rich, before I get into this that I have a problem with. When I was going to the company store, which is in Columbus, Ohio, I tried to get maize and blue. I could only get white and blue. I hear there's a big Ohio contingent here, but so anyway, if you could work on that, that would help some of us up here in Michigan. All right, I'm not feeling the love right now. All right, we'll keep going. So when we got started in the ministry, it's amazing how God's opened doors. So I call Estera, who's the national director, national field director for IFI, and I said, we just heard Rich, we want to get involved. Estera that very day was going to GVSU to talk to InterVarsity to say we weren't going to host International Coffee Hour. She wasn't able to have that conversation because we stepped up and God opened that door. And so part of our thing is at GVSU, we host a weekly in the fall International Coffee Hour where people just come in and they practice English. And through that, we're developing relationships and having hospitality.
As you can see in the pictures here, these are just students from all across the world. Some of them are, my Muslim son is up there. I was like, there's Mustafa. So what an encouragement to say, this was not on our radar. We came like you were sitting there. We weren't missionaries. He works in engineering field, and I work as a teacher, and we were just living our life. And so we just entered into International Coffee Hour. What a simple thing to do.
Right. From there, I signed up at GVSU with the ELIS program to be a conversation partner. The amazing thing one day when with Mustafa, who is my conversation partner, I'm riding down the road, and when they first come, they don't speak very good English, but he was able to articulate and said, I believe my God has brought me to you. And I said, you know what, Mustafa? I think my God brought you to me. And over time, we've had Mustafa to church multiple times. He wanted a Bible before he went back to Saudi Arabia, so we got him an Arabic English Bible. And we're praying that God continues to work on his life. He actually ended up coming to live with us, which was a whole nother experience, but which is interesting because who knew pepperoni was pork? I didn't. So anyway, it was kind of fun.
So we host different monthly activities. We sit down as a team, which our team was two, and now we have up to 54 volunteers on our email list in 2 years. And so my husband is like, what do they call you at work? You're like a, what do they call him at work?
A little leaguer.
He likes to be active. I'm not quite that way. So you can see they go sledding and downhill skiing and tubing, and they're highly active physically. And that's one way we can do an outreach with these international students.
We also partner with InterVarsity. We also partner with Bridges, which is the international side of CREW. But InterVarsity, the person that had been hosting that for 16 years, stepped down this past January. We were able to step up and coordinate the international dinners, which are held monthly. And once again, you know, during Christmas, Thanksgiving, we have opportunity to share what that means, being a Christian. And it's held off campus. So when we do the International Coffee Hour, that's pretty low key, but when we get them off campus, we can have more topical studies and talk a lot more about what Christ is doing in our life. Do you want me to take this?
All right.
Sunday Fun Day. So we've been doing this with our kids for years, where when they were in high school, we'd have people out to our house. We live on a lake. We have a volleyball court out by the water. And so we go, what a great opportunity to have internationals. So every Sunday, except the Sunday we're here at Gull Lake, we have international students at our house, and they go fishing, they go kayaking, we pull them tubing, we play sand volleyball, they play basketball. We invite family from infants to people that are retired. We don't restrict it. So this past Sunday, We had
about 74 people on our property, in our neighbor's property. And of that, 22 were international guests from around the world, and 3 were brand new to us. They were invited by students who said, in the most recent weeks, this is the most like home we have felt since we've been in USA. And one of the things that we kind of stumbled into it is because we include our family, we include our friends, and they are part of our volunteer crew who just simply use their hospitality talents to talk with these students.
Yep, and we look at it, we invite them to our family, and we're just waiting for God to invite him to his family. So just quickly, we partner with a couple other organizations. We've got 78 churches. We've got multiple volunteers. We've had hundreds of people at our house, at our monthly dinners, as conversation partners, but we continue to look for people to open doors. And we need more help from all of you. And like I said, we were sitting right where you were at 2 years ago. Our volunteers say they've never been involved in an international ministry that's been so easy to do. So anyway, thanks.
Yeah, you did? Okay. Thank you. Wow. So no matter where you are, the U.S. or overseas, even in Spain, maybe we can partner together to help fulfill the Great Commission. So I'm just going to pray, and we'll be done. And any other questions, come and see me, okay? Lord, thank you that in your mercy, your providence, in your wisdom, you brought internationals to us. And here at Gull Lake, Lord, I'm so glad for the embracing of this vision. And Lord, I pray for a release of workers into the harvest field of international students. And Lord, that there will be a testimony in 2 years when I come back again, hopefully, that there will be another story of how you have moved in the hearts of people and to release them as workers into your kingdom work among internationals. So thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. It's been a joy. Thank you so much for allowing me to share with you.